The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission, here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Well, welcome to episode 39.
That's right.
Money and Mission. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then partway through the show, we get to our weekly puzzler. That's right. I'm going to bring a little noisemaker sometime when I say
kazoo,
that. A
little kazoo, like,
yeah, that's right. That's right. We have no idea if this weekly puzzler is interesting to anybody but us, but we're the ones here at the station.
That's right.
Recording the show. So we'll share that with you. And I hope that is something that at least brightens your day.
Well, let's jump into our week in review, James. What did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Well, I had actually made a whole bunch of notes, and I'm sitting here looking at this, and the first thing I see is store closures.
Yeah, I figured I'd throw that in there. I seen that this morning.
Where did that come from? Joann Fabrics is closing more than 500 stores around the nation.
Over 500, 33 of them in Pennsylvania alone.
And Kohl's closing 27 stores by April. That's 6 weeks away.
Not too long. And Macy's, they announced that they're closing 66 more stores. And from the article, it says out of 150, which is part of their bold new chapter initiative designed to return the company to sustainable, profitable sales growth.
By closing stores.
By closing stores and stopping the bleeding.
I guess we'll see if that works.
Mm-hmm. But if the stores are closed, they're not open to be selling things, bringing money in. So it's kind of like you need to be open to make the money. And if you're closing down, you're stopping the bleeding. So it's like, how do you do that?
Yeah, that's somebody's sitting doing a lot of thinking on that one for sure.
What's that, Joe?
Webpage.
Oh, webpage.
Yeah.
They're putting it on web pages instead of brick and mortar stores.
Selling it online.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, speaking of moving stuff, right, selling things, we've talked before about things like trade deficits and trade surpluses. And a trade deficit is really just, it's just when your
$2 trillion deficit?
Yeah, but it's when your country is buying more stuff from other countries than what you are making.
So any and goods and services that we pay other countries for, we're paying more
to them
theirs than they are buying from us?
That's right. Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's right. So like if you were, let's say, Eric, that you are Brazil and I am the United States and I am buying $1 million worth of stuff from you, but you're only buying $300,000 worth of stuff from me.
So you have a deficit.
I have a deficit with you.
I have a surplus. That's good for me, Brazil.
That's good for you. Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, what's hard about trade, I mean, the thing that's so ironic to me is that we hear people talking all the time about how, you know, the United States has this really strong economy and everything, but we live in a consumption economy. It is really easy to consume.
Yeah, very easy.
Right? I mean, and
to consume more.
To consume more and more and more. I mean, that consuming, usually the human creature will sit there and consume as much as they can. And so it's very, very easy to consume. But what is really difficult to get people to do all the time? Go to work. Right? Maybe it's not difficult to get people to go to work, but that's hard work.
actually making something that you can sell to other people is hard work. So if you're buying more stuff than you're actually making, yeah, you're actually in the hole.
Yeah.
And we've been doing, so we thought it would be interesting just to look.
And those dollars and that those wages and
that's right.
Domino effect going to the other countries.
The domino effect, that's right. So I thought it would be interesting just to look at countries around the globe to see where there were places, like does everybody have a trade deficit or are there a number of countries out there that have trade surpluses? Years ago, you know, 100 years ago, the United States had a trade surplus where we were manufacturing stuff like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And that just kind of gradually went away and went away. Of course, we hear about China a lot. In 2023, China had a, what was this? This is a report from a website, macrotrends.net, www.macrotrends.net. But the report here is that in 2023, China had a trade surplus. This is what, 386 billion.
Yep.
Was that's China. Deep. That means China produced 300 and exported. It's sold it to other people.
Look at last year or the year before, 2022, 577 billion. So it actually dropped almost 200 billion. From 2022 to 2023, and it's still a gigantic number.
That's right. It's still a gigantic number. But the bottom line is they made that much more stuff, and they sold that extra, which means they had more than what they needed, and they sold it to everybody else. Well, some of the other, Singapore is a tiny country, right? But Singapore had, in 2023 at least, $187 billion in a trade surplus.
I didn't know they were that much of a manufacturing powerhouse.
Right. That's right. Germany was in 23 was $185 billion. And we could go through some of these different countries. But the bottom line is that there are a lot of countries around the globe who are producing a lot more than what they're consuming.
So why is this important for our listeners?
Well, the reason it's important for our listeners is that all this really feeds into that inflation into that inflation story. And if we want to be successful with our investments and in our investment plans, we have to be positioned in a way that takes advantage and benefits from these kinds of details.
Yeah, I did add some notes about the inflation news. Did mm-hmm. you see that as well in there?
I actually didn't see that yet.
Yeah, so the CPI, inflation rose to 3%. In January,
mm-hmm.
up from 2.9% in December. And core CPI, which are the prices excluding food and energy, that also increased, and now that's at 3.3%. So, you know, trying to get to that Fed's 2% inflation target may be more difficult than anticipated.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
And I,
if you sow the seeds of inflation, if you have an inflationary story going on, it is really tough to get it to just go away.
And I think it's funny how Washington is so brutal. Mm. Doesn't matter the party, but they're already yelling at Trump why the price is so high. He's like, I've only been in here 3 weeks.
Been here 3 weeks. Yeah, that takes some time to make this
but,
happen.
Hey, if you're going to be in office and the numbers are going to go in a bad direction, then you're going to take the heat for
you're
it.
You're going to take the heat. That's exactly right.
$12 a dozen for eggs the other day. Whoa. At the grocery store. Yeah.
Well, if you need a dozen, my mom's got a bunch of chickens. I can bring some up for you.
That's right. But I think
it's... $1 an egg.
But it's tough because you have these situational things like that bird flu that's going around, right? Which
yeah.
I think is creating...
Some of these are focused and yeah. then other are just yeah. macro issues.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Because I've heard that bird flu thing a few times about the eggs and I'm like, yeah, well, what about coffee? What about this?
That's right.
Well, the birds make everything? I mean...
That's right. Well, coffee was up substantially. But, you know, I guess if the bottom line is that if your money, if your investments don't grow at least to keep pace with inflation, then the value of your money is deteriorating and you're actually getting more and more behind the eight ball.
And not just that, but what about your investments in your account? I mean, when inflation reports come out like that, stocks and bond prices can fluctuate. You know, traders
zigzag
push back predictions.
That's
and,
right.
And make sure you're allocated the way you need to be for the current situation.
That's right. Yeah. And it's just astounding to me how many even advisors really don't quite, you know, grasp that. But you need to be working with an advisor who really understands how to help you position your assets to not just survive, but to thrive in an uncertain environment like that.
And to be able to stay dynamic throughout these different markets.
That's exactly right.
And one thing, it could complicate the Fed Reserve efforts for what they're going to do with rates. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's true. You know, the Fed has said over and over and over again how they intend to be data-driven.
Right. There's your data.
There's your data. That's right. And so don't be surprised if the Fed doesn't cut. You know, they talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, and then the data comes in. Oops, inflation is sticky. It's still there. Didn't go away. It's not getting where we want it to go. They do such a masterful job. Sticky means it's still there. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, we took care of it. It's just kind of stuck a little bit.
It's just hanging around. That's right. So I guess we'll save the rate cuts for later. Mm-hmm. But they do a masterful job of walking things back and just stringing people along. And I cannot imagine if I would stand up and make speeches like that and just not say much of anything, I would probably lose my job.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And investors, you know, they take cues from that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Well, the other note you had here was about the Purchasing Managers Index. And this was actually quite good. Remember, purchasing managers buy stuff on very large scales for large, large companies.
Yep.
And so when those purchasing managers buy more stuff, that's actually a good sign that the economy might be growing. And there's a thing called the Purchasing Managers Index, and it's ranked from 0 to 100. And if you're less than 50, then you're in a contracting type of economy. And in January 2025, for the first time after 26 months, more than 2 years of contraction, now the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index registered a little over 50. It's almost at 51. So that's a good thing.
Well, that's great news. Well, we got to take a quick break. I'm excited to jump into our next segment where we talk to Ross from Recycle Bicycle.
That's right. Yeah, you're listening to Holy Family Radio right here on WHYF AM 720. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And are you finished talking with Joe?
I am. Sorry, yeah, we had a little sidebar.
That's okay, a little sidebar. We should be on television. It'd be more interesting that way.
That's right.
Today, though, we are visiting with Ross Willard.
Yes, a special guest.
Recycle Bicycle. Say hi, Ross.
I'm happy to be here.
Just so everybody knows, there's actually somebody here. That's right. And Recycle Bicycle, we met, I think, like 15 years ago or something while we were... And I just remember you rode your bike everywhere.
Pastor Larry Hale is our connection.
Yeah.
And I try to ride everywhere, but unfortunately I do also in the car.
Some in the car as well, yeah. So you do some very special things over there at Recycle Bicycle, but at some level it's not really about bicycles, right?
Correct. In other words, we call it Recycle Bicycle, but it's really Recycle People.
Recycle People.
Recycle People. The bike is just a tool to get them someplace that... in their life, not just physically move them, but to get them there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps people get financial freedom. That's one of the many things. That's one of the reasons I'm here.
Mm-hmm. And so, somewhere along the way, you spotted this problem that, as you said, people need to be recycled. Financial freedom. Just talk a little bit about what you were seeing as the problem that needed to be worked at there.
Well, it started out first because I saw people were being, we were feeding people, and I saw them, kids going by with no brakes. Mm. So I sat down and started fixing brakes. But
after bicycle brakes.
Bicycle brakes.
Yeah.
But really the recycle people, financially, what happens is in this world with PennDOT and the rest of society, watch TV, it says, it's your money, you get it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's a wrong ad to be played on TV and radio.
Yeah.
Because we are teaching people, get all the goodies now.
Mm-hmm.
You'll pay more later in interest. And so the same thing with transportation.
Because when you get it now, usually that means you just go get it and you borrow to get whatever you're doing and just pay for it a little bit at a time.
So one of the things we tell the kids especially is ride a bike to go to college. Because if you buy a car,
that's first, a good idea.
You got to buy the car. That's expensive, and it depreciates right away.
Insurance. And
the insurance is the big kicker because it's usually $2,000-$3,000 a year
mm-hmm.
for insurance. And then at the end of the year, you look at your insurance card and you say, "Oh, I can sell this. It's collectible." It's not.
No.
So take that $2,000-$3,000, keep it in your pocket, and spend it for college. College credits. Get mm-hmm. education, because God wants you to be equipped for the world.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
But if you can ride your bike back and forth to college, then that's one thing you've got going on that is almost free.
Yep.
Right? And you'll probably be in better shape.
Yep.
Because you're riding your bike back and forth.
So let's back up just a little and just explain to our listeners a little bit what Recycle Bicycle does. And you help folks get bicycles, correct, or work on bikes? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm wearing the logo, and the logo says Recycle Bicycle,
mm-hmm.
Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's not is, it's not this big flashing neon sign that says, the free bicycle store. So it's a common sense bicycle shop. People come in. So we'll start with the little kids. 8-year-old kid comes in. He's got a flat tire. We fix it for free. You know, we don't need a parent. We just fix it because we want him to ride.
Yeah. Except when I brought my bike over, you made me work on it.
That's because you're not 8 years old.
I'm not 8 years old. Okay.
And then like a 14-year-old comes in. He's got a flat tire. He grabs his brakes. The brakes work. I give him the tools. He fixes it himself. Then if...
So you're meeting them where they're at, kind of.
Then if somebody comes in and says, I need a bicycle, and we have 1,000 of them. And it's like, okay, if they're under 18, they need a parent. Because I can't give out a motorcycle to a kid. He goes out, gets hurt, it's my fault, mm. or the ministry's fault.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a parent or a grandparent. And then an adult comes in from a halfway house, says, hey, the prison guard says I can go get a bike. Yep, they'll need money for a locking system, because if you give out a bike with no lock, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So sure. The guy says, yep, they told me about that. He has money for a lock, or he brought one, a lock and a chain. And then he looks down this line, and he picks out a bike, and then he goes to a workstation with all the tools, and there's all the parts, and he fixes it himself.
Wow, that's so cool.
It's empowering.
Yeah.
Because if you just give him the bike, and this has happened too many times, he rides off, gets a flat, and he leaves it. And he comes back and says, give me another bike. And of course, I get a little indignant and say, go get your bike.
Okay. Bring it back sure. and fix it. Yeah. Right.
So in doing so, it empowers them, because now, once they go back to the halfway house, if they have a problem, they have to beg their guards and say, let me get up the recycle bicycle and get my bike fixed, or I got to get out in the parking lot and fix my bike to go to work. They are empowered.
Mm-hmm.
They're recycled.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer dependent
mm-hmm.
on the world.
And that's so important.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At some level, you're not giving people a hand out. It's like a hand up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sweat equity is the other word it's used. And we like to use common sense.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy comes in and says, look, there's an expensive bike. I want that. I need that. No, it used to be pre-pandemic. Numbers are very important. Financial mm-hmm. literacy. We would tell people, look, you're worth $10 an hour. And for them, like for a 16-year-old, if he goes to McDonald's back then, he'd only get paid $7.50. Well, at our shop, he's paying himself $10 an hour.
Yeah.
If he's homeless, he has no job, he just went from 0 to 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He got a pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
So when they work for themselves and they're paying themselves $10 an hour, they're moving forward. But if he says, I want the $1,000 bike, puts in 2 hours, he just earned $500 an hour, that doesn't float.
That doesn't work.
Because the system then is he runs down the ugly warehouse, he sells it, And then he gets all the money, but we had to do all the work.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So financial literacy is extremely important to learn.
And it's really what I really love about that story, Ross, is that the financial literacy is tied to the bicycle.
Yep.
It I mean, most people would never think bicycles equal financial literacy. but it's
your method of transportation. You're responsible for maintaining it and upkeeping it, and no one's coming to save you. I think that sinks in.
It's financial freedom and freedom of travel. We've just expanded their horizons. Mm-hmm. They're not limited to their neighborhood. Their horizons are expanding exponentially. And
because they're able to be a little bit more mobile
yep.
than they were before.
Yep. In this physical realm,
mm-hmm.
not the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to go physical a minute. What is the most important thing in the physical world? Number one is food. Number two is shelter. Corporate, the roof over your head,
mm-hmm.
or personal, the shirt on your back.
Mm-hmm.
What's number three, the most important thing in life? It is not the cell phone.
Oh, I thought that. Yeah, I was pretty attached to my cell phone.
It's transportation.
Transportation, yeah.
And the bicycle gives them that freedom without the entanglements of insurance and parking fees and everything else.
And expand their radius so they have more opportunities.
To get more jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to always tell people, you can be homeless and live out behind a Dunkin' Donut somewhere. You tell the morning baker, you'll never have trash out front. You clean it up. But the homeless guy gives his phone number to the donut shop and says, look, if you ever get a phone call, yell for me. And so some morning, the baker throws the door open and just yells out to the guy's tent, hey, Bob, you know, you got a phone call from Man Ready. You got a job.
Mm.
You can figure out ways. And Carlisle actually has that. They have a place where people can have a mailbox, a phone number, and they're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
So learn how to make the system work for you and not scam the system, but just truly work for you to move ahead in life.
Yeah.
That's the physical realm.
That's right. And you're doing it with a bicycle.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So you're holding up a cell phone.
About 3.5 left.
We were just talking about cell phones here. That's yeah. right. Yeah.
It is not number three. That's
right. So right now, Ross, you are in a building, and that's a pretty big building.
It's 9,000 square feet of opportunity.
That's
wow.
right. But you were not always in that building.
Correct. It started out in my yard. It started out in my van.
Do you still have there was a trailer I used to see that you would be at different places, right?
The original trailer is sitting somewhere in Mount Holly Springs for another volunteer to haul bikes around in.
Okay.
But.
Because I noticed on your site, it says mentioning the dream of a permanent home.
Yes.
There. What sort of hurdles did you, were involved in? What lessons did you learn?
Well, the first thing is I did not plan properly.
Oh, James.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
that's what we talk about.
You know, I really had to say, if there's only one thing for anyone listening here today, if there's only one thing that you take away from our conversation, and that is that a good business plan does not require to borrow a ton of money, right? But a good plan is a plan. I mean, you got to have a plan, right? At the risk of like a circular statement, there has to be a good plan. You have a mission out there. That's why we call this money and mission, right? You need to understand the mission and the purpose, but you have to understand how the money works, and you have to have a good plan as well. I'm sorry, back to you. So you didn't have a good plan.
I didn't have the complete plan.
Uh-huh.
I had a mission. I discovered it.
Yeah.
I saw kids riding without brakes, and it was like, dear God, we're feeding them, but if I don't feed them, they're not going to die in the next 3 weeks. They can get water anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But the next intersection, they could die.
Mm-hmm.
So I fixed their brakes. Now they can stop. And once I started doing that, people started throwing bikes in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing this at block parties and traveling around and doing it. And then a guy by the name of Owen Moore in the bike club said, Ross, go to New York City. There's a safety convention for bikes. Oh, it's going to cost me money. It's going to do this. I went real cheap and did it. But then I discovered it has to outlive me. So my first step one of the plan was continuity. Mm-hmm. I had to look for other people like me mm-hmm. to make it continue.
Right.
And I do have a question on that, but I think we'll pause now and kind of get to your favorite part there, James.
Oh, the weekly puzzle.
Our weekly puzzle.
Yeah.
We got about a minute left.
That's
so
right. Let's go quickly. We'll be back with Ross as soon as we finish the weekly puzzle here.
Yes.
But last week's weekly puzzle was so very cool. What is one thing the months of December, January, February, and March are guaranteed to have it in common every single year?
What's that?
And that is the letter R.
Oh, the letter R. December,
and
January,
that's,
yep.
That's true. Four. Probably every month of the year has a letter R. But
that's
we just
every day of the week has a Y in it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, see if you can get this one.
We got 20 seconds. This week's puzzle. I have a chain, but I'm not a prisoner. I have a frame, but I'm not a photo. I have wheels, but I'm not a car. I have a saddle, but I'm not a horse. I have pedals, but I'm not a piano. What am I?
What am I?
Send your responses to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer next week on the show. We'll be back. You've been listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF. AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical principles and wisdom. Wish I could get that out.
You get that one?
Principles. That's right. Biblical principles. Okay. I'm James.
And I am Eric.
And we are visiting today with Ross Willard from over at Recycle Bicycle. And what a fascinating story, Ross, how this went from just helping kids fix brakes. And then I guess, you know, one of the first times I visited what I thought was your shop, I mean, it was crammed full. Was that your garage?
Well, if it was in a building, it was borrowed.
It was borrowed.
Mm. So the second part of the plan was, okay, well, first part was it had outlived me. So I looked for other volunteers.
People.
Mm-hmm. That could do the same thing, had the same heart. Mm-hmm. Which turned out to be just old guys like me. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. they had right. tools. They had a retirement program. They had health insurance. Their wife said, get out of the house.
Uh-huh.
But then where to do it? Well, it was my yard, and it was a trailer. And again, but that is planning. Too many people go to great lengths to explain their plan and then say, give me money to do this.
Mm-hmm.
What we did is we did it first.
Right.
So we traveled around the block parties. So the mayor would say, who's the people fixing bikes? And then the county commissioners say, who are the people fixing bikes for free? So that finally, one time I was here at this studio reading public service announcements, and a pastor had the basement of his church for rent. I called him and said, you'll never rent that. It's got two overturned cars in it. It has EPA waste. There's no electricity. There's no water. Well, it has water. It runs in one wall and out the other wall.
That's
and
right.
What happened is, let me borrow it, fix bikes, and I said, your church will be the heroes.
Yeah.
So the plan was, why spend money
if
to
you can,
do good?
If you can, to do, yeah, if you can, especially you can find a place where the people are willing to let you do it for free.
So that's what we did. Every 5 years, we'd have to move. And
now,
so,
why every 5 years?
Well, because the city came along and condemned the building.
Oh, I see.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
There's more to that story. But we were renting buildings that weren't rentable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how come I could get them. And a reputation. In other words,
making good use of it, though, instead
right.
of just sitting dormant.
Call up a businessman, and obviously he knew what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, sure. And mm-hmm. he gave us 12,000 square feet. And so we would do that. And if you ever come to our place, no matter where we're at, it's pandemonium. There are people outside waiting to get in. Mm-hmm. There are people running around inside. It is just things happening. And so, okay. So I had the plan moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I had the people and the places. But I didn't plan what to do after that.
Mm. But the people you had involved, these were, again, as you said, old retired guys who were just being commanded, get out of the house,
right?
Stop bothering me here, right? Yeah.
And one of them was the treasurer. And he said, Ross, I'm tired of moving from building to building. Because when we had to move, it was hurry up and call up the halfway house mm-hmm. and say, give me all the prisoners you got. And they would move.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have those guys do it.
Mm-hmm.
So Terry Turney
went around and gathered money in anticipation. That was the plan. We eventually found the right place.
Now, at what point did you get organized as a 501c3?
So what happened is, again, cheap. Why spend money unless you have to?
Sure.
We ran it as a subcommittee of March for Jesus.
Okay.
Another nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Why invent the wheel? Because it was so small potatoes.
Right.
And I built the web. I fixed the bikes. I did everything. Then what happened was, when it was, we need to start looking for a permanent home, and we need to have a permanent committee, okay, then it broadened out. We looked for people with a wider view.
Right.
Jennifer came on board. Dr. Ski from Hack came on board.
He rides bike everywhere. Oh, my God, that's Dr. Ski.
Scott Shree from Lebanon County came on board. So we had a wider, more diverse board finally, an official board, not just a bunch of guys doing what I need them to do.
I was reading this morning and reading over all their bikes and their favorite bikes and the current ones they ride. It's it's interesting hearing their stories.
And so in doing so, we got incorporated, and then we went freestanding. And we'll have a laugh here about the Bicycle Club. The Bicycle Club said at first, because we went freestanding so that we could get money.
Right.
And the Bike Club said, we can't give you money because you're part of a church. And then they backed up and said, wait a minute, it doesn't matter who you serve, Muslim, atheist, anybody.
Yeah.
We serve everybody.
Those financial principles are universally applicable.
Yep,
right.
That's right. And anybody who follows those principles winds up being in a better spot.
So what happened is Terry, he had the plan. He gathered the money, enough to buy a building, enough to renovate it, and then 2 years of operating expenses.
Wow.
What a plan. Because he had that complete vision. My vision was, let's save lives.
Right.
But since I pulled along other people
with other skill sets
that could see the rest of the story, the plan keeps evolving.
You needed somebody there to help put arms and legs on the vision.
Yep.
That's right. And, you know, that's such an important part. We've talked about other stories here on the podcast before, things like Tom Monahan and where he sort of did that left-hand turn and took his wealth gathered from Domino's Pizza and turned it into Ave Maria University. We've talked about the Ursuline Sisters, a number of different things, but every single place there is this need for a vision to start getting arms and legs, and people need to get involved. That's right.
Right. You can't be the Lone Ranger. And it will evolve and outgrow you, and that's what you needed to do. That's the healthy. I had to actually get out of the way of the ministry because I understood how to run the front door, but nobody understood that. They thought, well, you're grumpy to some people you're not. No, it's called common sense. And now the rest of the people, since they've got a taste of running the front door, they know how to sort of sort who really needs help and who just needs the tools and then who really is trying to scam.
Right.
And so it's a sad fact of life. But now the rest of the volunteers understand what's going on.
So what keeps you like motivated and inspired to do this work, even when you're facing challenges like that?
Because I see that the light bulb go off. So one of our, like one time a guy came in from the bike club. Hey, I heard about you, I wanna come volunteer. Okay. Next person in the door was this young teenage girl. I looked at the bike and the frame was cracked. I said, okay, to the HPC club member, I said, look, crack frame, all the parts are good, but over there is a good frame. Take these parts off, put them on there. And he did that. And when they rode out the door, he stood outside with his hands on his hips and said, wow.
Wow.
And it was the opportunity to help other people find out there's more to life than, oh, well, I'm going on vacation for myself or I'm watching football or I'm doing this or that, and these might be great things. But God didn't intend you to serve you.
That's right.
He intended you to serve others.
So serve
others. To show
people
Christ through you.
Yeah.
And so.
And even when you think you have a plan. Remember we heard the other day, James, in that meeting, that was the joke. It said, if you want to make God laugh, Just tell him your plans.
Just tell him your plans. That's right. You want to make God plan? You want to make God laugh? You just say, "Hey God, here's my plan."
That's right. And he'll let out a big belly laugh to
you. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
We have at-risk schools in the area, and the kid might not have done something really wrong. He just attention problems, or he might have said some bad things. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm going to burn down your house inadvertently. But he now has to go to an alternative school. A lot of them are outward bound. So they have these kids out riding bikes, hiking, picking up trash in the parks. But in the wintertime, they don't.
That's a good point. Yeah.
They found Recycle Bicycle. And on rainy days, they call up at the last minute and say, can we come in? Sure. But now we schedule them. In fact, I had to find another volunteer and make him in charge of this plan, that he schedules those schools, because there's like seven of them. And so they come in a van, and these at-risk kids build bikes for other people.
And so they're learning early on that there's a lot of joy that comes from serving other people.
Right. We have them fix up the brakes for some little kid that comes in off the neighborhood. And then we'll show them physics, education. We take a wheel, put it on pegs, and make a gyroscope out of it. We spin it, and we tilt our hands back and forth. We show these kids, and they're like, the light bulb goes off. Can we take this with us? We want to show our physics teacher.
Right, that's right.
You've got an at-risk student wanting to go back to the school with a physics toy.
You might have done something right.
We've accomplished something here.
Yeah.
We have clicked him into education is important, especially when it's fun.
Yeah. So you're teaching him about money and principles, but you're teaching him about education and how learning can actually be fun. So much that you can do with a bicycle. But I have to tell you, I know I have said this before, and I'll say it again, that sometimes we approach planning with the idea. We've got these ideas in mind and so on and so forth. But what you can do with just an idea that just is as commonplace as a bicycle and turn it into something like that, not just creative thinking, but, I mean, my goodness, you can take that and apply it almost anywhere like that and turn it into something that has true value, lasting value, right, for people.
Job opportunities. Harrisburg School District doesn't wait till the senior year to do job fair. They've lost too many kids. They do it in middle school, and we've attended them. And I go in, and I go in with a business plan.
With a business plan.
How to run your own bike shop. And it's basically, the quick version is, go to your uncle or your parents and borrow $25. Then buy an adjustable wrench, a screwdriver, a patch kit, and a pump. And then take a piece of cardboard and put on it, flat tires fixed, $10. The patch kit costs you $3. It's got six patches in it, so you got 50 cents of usables. And just start doing that in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Then when you get six times 10 is $60, but maybe one of them along the line failed, so you had a quality problem, you only get $50 out of a patch kit, and you buy another patch kit, so now you're down to $47.
Yeah.
You don't go spend it. You now go buy another tool after you've paid back your parents or uncle their money, and then you might buy the $1 ice cream back then, and then repeat that.
No, I really like that. You're teaching them finance and accounting, all of that in the same. I think that's good.
We're down almost to the end of the segment, and you know, we want to talk some more about just the amazingly good things that are getting accomplished over there at Recycle Bicycle. But when we come back from a break here, again, I'd like to hear a little bit about what you did with your life before, you know, before the bike thing came up, before you pedaled into that.
Whoa, I see what you did there.
You see what I did there? That's right.
Pedaled in.
Yeah, I pedaled before. Parachuted in, pedaled in, whatever, right?
Yeah, not that extreme.
That's right. Keep it in context.
All right. So, well, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish our conversation with Ross. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And we are talking with Ross Willard from Recycle Bicycle. And it's not just fixing brakes or flat tires, but having people get involved and teaching them about financial freedom and good business principles and actually
being
more independent. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about teaching business principles. Let's talk a little bit more about that. And if we have some time, I'd also like to hear what you did before you peddled in to that story.
Well, on business principles, one of the things that there's a new wave of e-mobility out there, mm-hmm. e-scooters, e-bikes. Mm-hmm. But even before that, a lot of times you'll hear people say, especially in the cities, I can't get a job. Mm-hmm. I'm like, look for the opportunities. And so I use Philadelphia as a good illustration. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times people say the streets are only for cars. Well, they're for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I'll say, okay, look at Google Map. How many car dealers are there in downtown Philly? There's none. They're all up on Route 1 or farther out because they take up so much space. Mm-hmm. It's not efficient to use that much landscape and money-consuming territory for that type of business. But then turn your phone into search for bike shops. And it almost looks like he took a shotgun and shot at the map of Philly. Bing, 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 bing.
There's bike shops all over
the place. They're all over the place. They're in basements, first floor, here, there, and so forth. So I tell people, okay, where do you live? Harrisburg. Bring up Google Map and put in bicycle shops. There are only one for-profit in the city. It's now Pedego downtown. And then there's Recycle Bicycle, a nonprofit. There are deserts where kids can't get their flat tires fixed, where adults can't get their flat tires fixed, their bike fixed.
Their bike tires.
So that sort of tells me you don't want to open up another tortilla shop somewhere unless you're really good at it. But you can open up a part-time bike shop and make money.
And as long as, because there's a need.
There's a need.
A lot of demand and no supply.
But then have a plan. Because don't go out without researching what permits and what taxes you're going to have to do. Because you don't want to run afoul of the authorities.
That's right.
So plan, but look for that need. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's bicycles or anything, use Google Map as your search machine. And then just talk to your neighbor saying, hey, where do you go to get this done, that done, this done, that done? And you'll find out you don't need to hire a PhD to build a business plan for your community, let's say just uptown Harrisburg. Mm-hmm. You, as a common sense individual, can do this. Mm-hmm. You can look it up.
Yeah, and your business plan just, again, it kind of grew and grew. You started with not much of a plan, but you kept focusing on doing those foundational things right? Not spending more than you were making, getting other people involved, and just staying focused on your mission like that. That's so important. Well, tell us, Ross, just a little bit. Again, I mean, you were not doing bikes your whole life, right? Or
true, because as a kid, my parents said, you can't have a bike. They're too dangerous.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So they gave me roller skates.
Which is less dangerous.
No. I skate like a New York City taxi cab driver. They gave me a broom, and I would be going down this hill and sit back down on the broom, and I was a fanatic about skating. But when I was a kid, my father said two things. Get a job. Crooks are in jail.
Yeah.
My mother, who worked at the family business, also said, I'm volunteering. And my three sons are coming with me to learn how to serve others. Okay. That was growing up. Mm-hmm. So who did I marry? Miss Ruth. A lady with the same heart. Mm-hmm. You know? She knew how to work. She knew how to volunteer. So when I worked at the railroad full time, a lot of times I worked night shift. Mm-hmm. I'd wake up in the afternoon and it would be, she'd be saying, I have a great idea. And I'm just like, oh no, it's less sleep for me and I'll be sleep deprived.
Yeah.
And that's the way it went for decades.
A long time.
And, but in that planning, Ruth and I have the same basic financial flow. Mm-hmm. We didn't need to buy the newest and greatest. Mm-hmm. We were raising five kids.
Yeah.
There had to be a budget. You couldn't splurge on this or that.
Right.
It's you fix the cars. And we raised a family. Mm-hmm. And then she moved into full-time ministry and I'm her full-time supporter. But then I have my own full-time ministry running.
Mm-hmm. Which was the bikes.
Which was the bikes.
Yeah. But from the time that your dad said, don't ride bikes, like, when did bikes, like, re-enter? Was that just something you always wanted to do? Was it, like, the thing that was suppressed when you were a kid and now all of a sudden it just came out?
Could be.
Yeah.
What happened is I found Jesus Christ at a Youth for Christ roller skating party.
Mm-hmm.
Then, finally, when I was 16, my parents gave me a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it had a broken axle. I didn't know how to fix it yet. But soon after that, I started riding motorcycles. And so the bike went to the wayside. And small trail bikes. And so what happened was I had a bicycle somewhere in the late 70s just to go to work. But just that was it, just to get to work. Because it's cheaper. And that's, again, financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always telling guys, you're married and you have the good car. Your wife has the junky car and you have financial problems.
Mm-hmm.
Sell the junky car. It's always breaking down. Give the good car to the wife. Cut your insurance bill in half.
Mm-hmm.
Ride a bike.
Ride a bike.
And I've lived that. I've done that. So it isn't I'm giving out advice, but it's like, plan this, get financial freedom.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I wasn't riding bikes like a fanatic. And then one day in the newspaper, if you remember those things, they used to have print, you read them, it wasn't on a screen, newspapers.
Well, I remember those, but I'm dating myself.
What are those?
Newspapers.
Oh, newspaper, yeah.
Anyway, it said if
nice,
you...
Nice try. Unsuccessful, right?
If you see this big guy riding a bike around the state capitol, and it looks like the governor, it is. Governor Tom Ridge is going to go on his bike ride. That sounds interesting.
Hmm.
And personally, I was tired of going on vacations where I took my wife shopping. We knew every mall in the Northeast. So I signed up for this ride. I was going to roller skate it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I borrowed one of my kids' cheap mountain bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I went riding with the governor. And that was it. There I met other bicyclists. I met other mechanics. And on those rides, and I became the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, it equipped me that when I was in uptown Harrisburg and I saw a problem, I didn't say, somebody ought to call the government to fix this.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's like, God has equipped me.
Yeah.
He trained me at Harrisburg Area Community College in mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
My father encouraged me to take things apart. I've fixed things all my life.
Mm-hmm.
I read how-to manuals.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here's the problem, and I'm equipped to fix it.
That's right.
Duh. Why am I going to turn my back on this?
That's right. And you just used what you had, and it grew from there. But you stayed very focused, too. You stayed focused on the mission, and you were still staying focused on the mission. So that's what a lesson there, to stay focused, right, on the mission that we have. Well, so things grew. You know, you got into that, and we've heard that story. You now have, there's a website, right? What's the website address?
So there is the hard way of remembering this. It's at rbhberg.com.
rbhberg.com. rbhberg.
Now throw that out of your brain, and we're going to get back to everybody has a cell phone.
Google it.
Just Google. Google Map. So when I meet somebody, they'll say, you got a business card. Used to, not anymore. I say, give me your phone. I take their phone. We bring up Google Map. We put in recycle bicycle, and it pops up. They select it. The little dot goes right there to the center of Harrisburg, where the need is the greatest, where the most kids are.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows you where we're at. Then you scroll Google Map. And it has pictures. The first picture is a two-story mural of a kid on a bicycle. Yeah. You know that when you come around the corner, you're there.
You're there.
Scroll more pictures, and you see what it looks like inside and what's happening. They're sort of dynamic-looking pictures. Scroll a little more, and it tells you when they're open.
Mm-hmm.
Then it tells you the phone number.
It tells you
the web page.
Right.
Better than a business card.
Better than a business card. But RB, let me guess, recycle bicycle.
RBH Harrisburg.
H-Berg.
H-Berg.
Recycle Bicycle Harrisburg. rbhberg.com, rbhberg.com.
And I also wanted to we just have a few minutes left here, but I wanted to highlight what I've seen on your website, some of the way folks get involved and help out. You have in here some of the ways they can help is repairing bikes, if they have that skill set.
They can volunteer, right?
Yep, they're volunteering.
Volunteering.
Yep, they can volunteer to help repair the bikes.
Mm-hmm.
They can help recycle the bikes if, taking them apart. Community events, doing bike giveaways, bike safety sessions, and school fairs. Behind the scenes with writing grant applications, designing newsletters and mailings. You can ride with the crew. And also community service. So if there's a church or a community group that would like to volunteer some time, they can go ahead and help as well.
So you could get a group of people from your church and head over to Recycle Bicycle and say, we're here to help. Now, I guess call ahead, right?
Well, call ahead. Or
don't just show up with a group of people.
Let's sound like biblical. In the Bible, They sent two spies out. So a lot of times I'll get people calling. They'll say, yeah, we want to bring a group in. And I'll say, come on in yourself and see what's happening.
And see what's going on.
So they really get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they go back and they talk to everybody at lunchtime, to their safety committee or their church group or whatever, it's like, okay,
yeah,
this is what's happening.
That's right. So send a couple people. Call first, rbhberg.com. But if you forget all about that, just remember, Recycle Bicycle. It's so
Google
easy.
Maps it.
Google Maps it. Recycle Bicycle. You could have people out to your church. You could come over to help. You could volunteer like that. And if you bring your bike over, they will make you work on it to fix it. Right. Well, we're almost out of time here today. Ross, this was so good to catch up with you again. Glad to have you over. And I hope we can have you over again sometime just to talk more and keep in touch.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ross. We can't wait to have you back later in the year. Also, there was some questions that I didn't get to. One of them was, with your company, with your nonprofit, how do you folks measure the success of your mission beyond just the number of bicycles distributed and what metrics you use? Maybe that's something you can think about a little bit, and when you come back to give us an update, you can answer that as well.
But again, you're listening to Holy Family Radio on WHYF AM 720.